management, or other sponsors. It's time for the Edge Broadcast with your host, Daniel Ott. You can join Daniel and his guest as we discover the truth together. Within the continental U.S., call toll-free 1-800-996-9638 or click on the Fast Blast link on the Edge Broadcast website. That's toll-free 1-800-996-9638 or click on the Fast Blast link on the Edge Broadcast website. You can find out about our guests and topics by logging on to the Edge's website, theedgeam.com. That's theedgeam.com. And now here's your host for the Edge Broadcast. Here's Daniel Ott.
Now let's go to our newsmaker line and see if we have with us tonight Adam Miller. Adam Miller, you on the line?
Yes, I am, and thank you for having me, Daniel.
All right, well, welcome to the program. Adam, it's going to be a great interview. I always am fascinated by any type of near-death experience because besides knowing what the Wall Street's going to do, the second question most asked is, what's on the other side? And I don't know how much information you're going to bring us about the other side because of your short stint over there, but certainly you were there according to your own biography and testimony. So before we begin, Adam Miller, why don't you just sort of introduce yourself, and then we'll discuss your beginning along this journey that you have been experiencing.
Yes, to begin with, I've been a healer practitioner since 1977, and I'm currently 49 years old now. Mm-hmm. I started working when I was 18 years old, and basically that's the summary of when it started.
Okay. And how did it start?
I used to be a amateur figure skater, Daniel, I'm sure you do know that.
Yeah.
And I worked under very intense conditions, and I was skating in Santa Monica back in the early 60s to mid 70s as an amateur. Mm-hmm. I was a high test figure skater, like, you know, people see on television and so on. Of course, it's much more public now than it was then.
Okay.
And so what happened is I actually ended up contracting double pneumonia from skating on the ice arena wet because I was walking between my home and the figure skating rink. I was only 18 years old. And, you know, when you skate and you're wet and you get hot and cold, it's very easy to get sick that way.
Yeah.
And basically that's the start of the story.
Mm-hmm. Double pneumonia. Okay. Well, so you started feeling ill at a certain place, or did it at a certain time, or did it take days for this to develop, or was it something rather quickly?
Well, because I was such a high-end athlete at the time, it took actually many, many months for me to become that ill.
Okay. So over a period of time then, you got more seriously ill?
Yes, I had bronchitis, and it went into single pneumonia, and then double, of course.
Okay. Okay. By the way, just to brush up on tidbits of information, is there such thing as triple pneumonia?
There is not.
Okay, so those double pneumonias, that's the top. I mean, that's it. You don't go higher than that, huh?
Well, we only have two lungs, of course, so
okay.
Yeah.
Double
pneumonia
okay.
is the top end, and when your lungs fill up with fluid, you have no breathing space.
Ooh.
And therefore, you know, the fever went up. And really what happened is that the fever was that really, that's what put me out. I mean, it was 108 degrees, which you just cannot survive at that level.
Right. Wow. 108. Man, you can cook an egg with that, huh?
Pretty much.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So here we got Adam Miller. He's getting sicker and sicker, double pneumonia. And then up to what? You got so sick you had to call a paramedic, or somebody called one for you? What led you to was 911 called?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I was actually on the ice arena taking a freestyle skating lesson. You know, I was jumping and so on, mm-hmm. and I actually collapsed on the ice arena unconscious, and they took me to Orange County Hospital. Mm-hmm. So that's how that happened.
So you had double pneumonia, and you were out there skating?
I probably, actually, Daniel, I believe I had double pneumonia for a period of months.
I'm not a doctor or a therapist, Adam, but I got to tell you, I don't know. might have to question your sanity there. But of course, you were dedicated. Obviously, you were not going to let this sickness slow you down.
Well, you know, figure skaters at a very high level, just as any other high-end athlete, we're extremely tough.
Yeah.
So we're taught to ignore pain, and of course, that's a double-edged sword.
Well, I you could also say that with talk show hosts like this one here. I've ignored pain. I'm at the top of this game here, so you know, I would push the envelope if I had to. I mean, you know.
Okay. I understand.
Okay, so you collapsed on the ice. They got 911 coming in there. So did you faint then completely, or were you just out of it?
Actually, what happened was I was doing a triple jump, and I landed the jump, and of course I managed to land the jump, which figures. And then as I was, you know, gliding backwards, everything just went black, pretty much.
Okay, so the end was when you jumped up in the air.
When I landed it, yeah.
Okay. Did you land it, by the way?
I did land the jump, yes.
Wow. So basically you landed it unconscious.
I did, pretty much.
Wow. Okay. Well, kudos on that. Did you get a gold medal? Did you score something? Get a check or what? Anything there?
I wish that was the case, and actually I'm glad it wasn't. Not a public thing. It was during a private skating lesson in the morning.
Well, see, that's a lesson I learned from the movie The Grinch with Jim Carrey. He didn't mind being the cheermeister, but he wanted a check too, as I recall. He won an award and a check, but I don't think he gave him a check. Okay, so Adam Miller, they are carrying you away in an ambulance there to the hospital. Are you awake in the ambulance, or are you out?
I was kind of in and out all the way to the hospital, not very conscious.
All right.
What really happened is once I got to the hospital, that is when my heart actually stopped, and they were trying to bring me back with resuscitation and heart palpitators.
Okay.
And that's really where the story begins, I believe.
Okay. So they were trying to resuscitate you in the vehicle?
In the hospital.
Okay, not until you got to the hospital when they tried to revive you.
Right, the fever just kept going up and up and up.
Okay. All right, now, so you're in there, they're trying to revive you, and I guess, do you flatline on the table?
I did, for 4.5 minutes, actually.
Now, in our other NDE interviews that we've had, I mean, as you're well aware of, you're in sort of in that field, I guess if you could call it a field. You know, there's a classic rising out of the body and being in the corner of the room looking down. Did you have that experience?
Well, there's that experience and much, much more beyond that, which is why I'm in the middle of writing a book. The book is entitled The Least Likely Healer, which is really amusing if you all knew me personally. I'm most certainly opposite of what you would think of as a healer, I believe. But anyway, there's a whole entire story, which I'm happy to tell that. I'll try to give, you know, the short version so we can kind of come up to speed a little faster.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get into it. I think we've primed our audience here. They're on their seat. They want to know what's going on, what happened to you. Let's get into it. You died on the table there, and what happened to you?
Basically, like many people have heard before, I was floating above my body, and I was actually watching the doctors and nurses work on me.
Okay.
And this is where the story becomes much more interesting, I think, and very different from all of the other accounts I've heard before, because from that point on, I went away from the room completely and into a white illuminated space, and there was actually a guy waiting for me there.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, you know, for certain purposes, I will tell you who I am later. However, what I would like to have you do is follow me to a building. And, of course, Daniel, I was kind of a captive audience, and I went along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This guy that you saw there, what was he wearing?
Actually, he had blue jeans on, bare feet, and a dark T-shirt.
Blue jeans. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you consider this place, you were a sort of a purgatory? Was it heaven? Was it hell? Was it neither? Was it some celestial, universal meeting place? What was it?
Well, it was most certainly the latter. Actually, you hit the nail on the head more than you know, and I think when you hear this story, you'll see what I mean. It most certainly is a universal a meeting place, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what happened is as I followed him, I got to the base of the stairs where this building was. Now, these stairs were colorless, and they were maybe 200 feet wide and 3 feet thick, and there were about 75 of them. And he said to me, well, what I'd like to have you do is just place your foot on the first stair. And as I did this, the whole entire stair lit up in millions and millions of teeny little stars. And he said to me, the stair is simply reflecting the essence in the material that you are made of. And, of course, I realized I was in a totally different space then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What were you wearing when you went to the other side?
The clothing I had on previous to being passed on.
So you had shoes on?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And how did you know it was 200 feet wide? And how did you know there's 75 of them? Did you count them, or did they measure?
He told me.
Okay. And you say they were transparent, and they sort of reflected, help me understand this here, they reflected who you were or your experiences?
No, what happened was is when I placed my feet and actually stood on the first stair,
mm-hmm.
The whole thing put up in millions of little teeny tiny stars, and what he was talking about is that the stair is reflecting the essence and the material, in other words, our spirit. That's what it really actually appears like, and the stair was reflecting it like a mirror.
Okay. All right. And so do you begin to walk down the stairs, or he would just explain what the stairs were and how they operated?
The stairs were actually going up. So
okay.
I actually walked up 75 of these stairs, and each time I stepped on the next stair, the very next one would do the very same thing. Absolutely spectacular and beautiful, Daniel. It's very difficult to describe these things, of course,
mm-hmm.
But I most certainly will do my best here.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say that even just that part of the experience before I went through the rest of this was truly, truly spectacular. There are so many things available to us out there in the universe that are truly amazing,
mm-hmm.
That I've most certainly become very educated on a lot of them, and
okay.
I'm truly grateful that these things mm-hmm. are present in my life, I have to tell you.
Mm-hmm. And those of you in the live chat, as I'm sort of looking, you see me look over, because I'm flipping over to see how the conversation is going. If you need a clarification to anything that Adam Miller is saying, then please jot that down real quickly, and we'll get that to him as we progress, because we may not come back to this area because we have so much to cover later. So we want to make sure we set the stage right, and everybody has a ground level here as we progress upward through these stairs. Now, so the stairs, then, just to clarify then, for my personal good, they you said they like a twinkling lights or twinkling stars.
Right, inside of them when
inside
I stepped
of
on
them. Okay,
that's
so
correct.
Okay, are they stationary or are they moving?
No, they were completely stationary as mm-hmm. it's on the ground, so to speak.
Okay, and when you placed your foot upon a stair, did they at that time did they move or did your feet block out the view?
Neither one. They
okay.
were totally obvious.
Okay, they stayed there. All right, at the end of the stairs, say the 200 foot wide stairs. What is on the other side of that? Is it a cliff? Is it, could you see down on the other side?
Well, if you remember, I mentioned before that he said to me that he was taking me to the building.
Okay, yeah, building.
So
it was a wall?
So at the top of the stairs.
Okay.
There was a platform.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And there was this building. Now, the platform appeared to be made out of black marble with white quartz running through it, and so did the building. The building was maybe 4,000 or 5,000 feet wide by several hundred feet high, and it actually didn't have any windows in it. There was just a large arch mm-hmm. in the front.
Okay, an arch.
Yes.
Okay. Was it a golden arch, or was it this marble and white material?
It was just an arch in the middle of the building.
All right. Okay.
And it was a doorway, so to speak.
Okay, or porthole maybe. All right, did you see, were there any decorations there that you knew were specifically just decorations on the wall, on the floor, on the arch at all, or was it just plain?
It was totally plain and completely smooth.
Okay, so all right, so that all right, so there was no writing, no hieroglyphs of any kind.
No.
Okay.
And so what this man said to me was, "I would like you to enter. I am not going to follow you. However, there are beings waiting for you there." So he asked me to enter the building.
So he's going to send you on in there, but he's not going to go with you.
No, it wasn't needed.
Did you have any trepidation at that point? Say, wait a minute, you know, where am I going? Or were you quite confident and had peace of mind, and did you feel safe?
I felt, well, it was beyond safety. It was like being home.
Did you have the spooky feeling of being there before, perhaps? Deja vu, maybe?
I did have the feeling of being there before, definitely, yes.
Mm-hmm. A question from Rod in the live chat says, to clarify, did you mean that the stairs were a reflection of your spirit?
That is correct.
Okay, so you're saying if that reflected your spirit, then are you saying that your spirit is perhaps made of stars or stardust?
So to speak. You have to realize this is kind of a generalization. The processes that actually happen during this whole entire thing are extremely complicated. We don't really have time for that here.
Okay.
So what I'm giving is a simplified version of what happened there.
Okay. But you're saying, though, that from an analytical standpoint or an in-depth understanding, you have much more than what you're going to be revealing on this program.
Yeah, that's why. Mm-hmm. That is why I'm writing the book, because mm-hmm. I feel like the material, history is very important right now.
All right. Let's get through the doorway, or get through the arch, or something there. Let's get through there. What's in there?
Well, this is wonderful. In walking through the arch, once I got inside the building, the whole entire building on the side I was on was full of thousands and thousands of angels. I'm telling you, Daniel, it was spectacular. It was amazing.
Mm. And were they flying or walking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to describe that. Yeah, there were the little tiny pixie angels that are maybe 4 or 5 inches
like
in length, and they were just about every color of the rainbow. There was the seraphim angels that you hear about in the Bible. They mm-hmm. actually do exist, mm-hmm. and they're about human size. Mm-hmm. And then there were the mighty archangels, and they were unbelievable. They were at least, 30, 40 feet tall each. So mm-hmm. it was a spectacular part of this whole experience.
Mm. Okay, so basically then, so you have like a little fairy angels running around there?
There were, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you said pixies, I would say fairy. And then the larger ones, were they male and female?
They were both sexes, and very obviously so.
Mm, obviously so, as the female angels were voluptuous? Is that what you're
saying? No, they were not voluptuous. However, they had, I guess the best way to put this, you could tell by their energy what they were. It was very obvious.
Okay, so they exuded some sort of energy, and it was plain. And did they have various colors of hair, eyes, and that type of thing?
They did, actually, and they were very, and I just found this so interesting. They were very, very human-esque looking. Now, we have to remember that all of this vision that I'm having probably was put to me in this way so that I was, one, unafraid, and two, was mm-hmm. able to understand mm-hmm. it. I'm not saying that this is a generalization for everybody that mm-hmm. would have it. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that this is the way it appeared to me.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that there seemed to be a representation of the descriptions of angels that were maybe found in the Bible, perhaps. Would you say then that maybe the building may have represented or looked like it was designed in the fashion of Solomon's temple?
I would not.
Okay. All right. So you're in there with these angels, and are they speaking to you? Are they happy to see you? Do they ignore you? What goes on now?
They pretty much had their own agenda And there's an interesting part of this about the way they move.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, we think of angels as flying, and what I actually learned at that moment was that they don't actually fly. What happens is their wings are folded, and
Really?
When they open them just a quarter amount, they're actually gone. So what happens is when they just slightly open the wings, they're gone simply by thought. And that was an interesting piece of the education.
Really? So they had sort of folding wings.
Mm-hmm. And when they opened them slightly, they were gone.
Okay. And they were able to fly?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so were angels the only items in this building, or were there other items? What were they
we
doing?
We are only at the beginning of this, so
okay.
I am trying to give, you know, the shortest version of this, but right. The story right. is important.
All right, continue on.
So at the far end of the building, there was a podium there, maybe 10 feet high by several hundred feet wide. And behind this podium, there were what I thought of as people. However, as I started to get closer and they motioned me over, I realized that they were deities that we know very well. There was Kuan Yin there, a Chinese masteress. There was Buddha there. And then there was Mother Mary. And then there was an instructor by the name of Saint Germain, which a lot of people do know. And then there was Gabriel. And then there was Archangel Michael. And then there was actually many others as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they motioned me over. So that was the next thing. And that was just spectacular and amazing.
Mm-hmm. And then the next thing.
So when they motioned me over, actually Mother Mary stood up and said to me, you are in the place of change. They explained to me that what the building actually is it's an interim level area in which all souls that either come or go from a lifetime
mm-hmm.
actually meet with what's known as the Holy Council. That's how they, that's what they call themselves.
Mm-hmm.
She further explained to me that the reason I was there was because I was actually at the end of my agreement. Now, I didn't know anything about agreements or even what they were. So she actually got out a parchment. It was a physical parchment like the Constitution of the United States. At the top it said Life's Agreement, and underneath of that it said by Adam Miller, and the whole entire agreement from my birth on was actually written in my own hand. I mean, it really was amazing, Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Quick question from Susie Q in a live chat. Did you know anyone there?
I only knew them as, I mean, when I was young, I grew up as a Methodist, okay? And I had friends that were Buddhists and so on. So I knew some of these deities, but I didn't know them very well. So I was getting an education pretty much hands-on at that moment.
Mm-hmm. All right, continue on. What's next?
So they handed me the agreement. I actually read through it, and it was in detail. It started with my birth, who my parents would be, what country I would live in, my brother, my skating life, my romantic life, and so on. But the problem was it was only 18 years long. And, of course, at that moment I realized that I had passed on.
All right.
When I got to the bottom of this, Mother Mary said to me, yes, you are at the end of this agreement. However, you can make an amendment to it and continue living in the body you are currently in. However, you must make one of three choices first. The first choice was that I could be a guide for a person who was not living yet and who was currently in the building. However, it was somebody that apparently I had known before, and I would actually go down back to Earth as a spirit, not as a physical person, and they would be born into a body, and I would be their guide for their entire lifetime. That's the first choice.
All right.
That make sense?
Yeah, I'm with you. Go. Second choice.
The second choice was that I could go to the Universal College. It's very interesting, Daniel. There's an actual college there, except, of course, all the instructors have wings. So it's very interesting, and I could stay at that college as long as I wanted to. Now, of course, realizing these first two choices, I would no longer be in the body, and I would have passed on right then.
Mm-hmm.
The third choice is that I could go back and be in the physical body, but I would have to make an amendment to my current agreement.
Mm-hmm.
They said if I chose the third one, I could not go back any longer as an unconscious person, and that they would have to educate me in some certain ways. So at the end of that particular comment, I thought about these three choices for a very, very long time. We were talking about my life. So I thought about this for a very long time, and what I realized is that at 18 years old, I was very, very close to my mother, and I had no intention of leaving her. So the reason I actually came back wasn't because of some lofty idea. I came back because of my tie with my mother, and I did not want to leave her. And that's what I told them, and that was the reason why.
Mm-hmm.
Upon this, they said, okay, that's fine, you can make that agreement, and we started to write the amendment. They said that the only way that I could go back, however, was to spend at least 2 weeks or so in the Universal College learning the Universal Law and how to use it and what to do with it. I did go to the college, and I did graduate from the college before I came back into my current body.
Mm-hmm.
What they taught me there was how to do healing work, how to do enlightenment work, how to be a more enlightened person, and kind of get me on the road to doing the current work I have now. So I graduated from that school.
Okay.
I came back to the building. And remember the man that had met me in the beginning of the story?
Yes.
He was waiting for me there. We walked outside the building, and he said to me, oh, by the way, I used to be called Jesus. So it was another, you know, kind of shock there.
Wow.
And we talked a little bit, and he said, I will be one of your instructors when you go back into your body. Now, one of the things that happened during the time that I was in the college is they actually removed the veil between myself and the spiritual world. I do not have a veil. Mm-hmm. What that means is that 24/7, I actually hear, see, and feel spirit, which is so very, very helpful in my current healing work that I do right now.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, that's most of the story.
So you hear spirits right now?
Yes.
Are they saying anything about this interview, this show, myself, or The Edge?
Yes, they do.
What are they saying?
That you're a spectacular communicator, and you're doing a wonderful job in the world, and you're doing much more good than you realize.
Okay. All right. And that's interesting here. So I want to crank down just a little bit on the 1, 2, 3 choices there. The first one being a spirit guide. Did you have a spirit guide assigned to you to begin with? Somebody who's already made that agreement?
Yeah, every single person has between 1 and 3, depending on what kind of guidance they need.
Okay. Well, what happens when a person, say, makes a bad choice? Is it because they're not listening to their spirit guide, or the spirit guide didn't know what to do?
Well, I have 2 words for that: free will.
Okay. All right. Let me get to 2 questions here. One from the live chat, one from the Fast Blast, similar strain. Do you follow the teachings of Kabbalah?
I do not.
Are you a Catholic?
I am not.
Okay. All right. The Universal College, you said you graduated. This is not facetious, I'm just asking, did you graduate valedictorian?
You could say that.
Were there others that graduated at the same time, or was it very personable?
There was about 4 million.
4 million?
Wow. Yes.
Okay, that's a big, big, hefty group. And I guess if the instructors had wings, then of course they would be able to fly. Okay, were there different classes then?
There were hundreds and hundreds of thousands of classes, yes.
Hmm. All right. And, okay, so did each class teach you something different?
Each class taught me something totally different.
For instance,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. What were the curriculum? That's what I'm trying to find out. Did one how to heal, one how to fly? I mean, what were the different variants?
Something like that, yeah. Pretty much, I'm not really allowed to reveal that to anyone. I'm very secretive about most of what I learned in the college because the material is very, very intense,
mm-hmm.
and I'm very careful how much of that I actually mm-hmm. reveal to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I don't teach anything that I had learned there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had only taught me that in order to do my own work.
Mm-hmm. Live chat question. Do you claim any religious teaching?
I do not.
Mm-hmm. I know for those who may be in a particular religion, whatever that might be, I guess if if it's Islam, they would not expect to see. And I don't know. I'm not an Islam expert, but I would say that they wouldn't believe there's a Saint Germain or Saint Michael, because it would be, you know, like Muhammad or, you know, the other variants of the Islamic faith, whoever their guides are. And then for, say, like Christianity, they wouldn't expect to see Buddha or Muhammad there in their afterlife destinations. So, and I think when you mention the different people, and certainly Saint Mary for some, with the Catholics, they certainly would believe it. The Christians probably wouldn't believe it. So, but when you put them all together in the same place, then you're probably making a lot of people nervous, saying, well, that can't be, because my faith teaches that these people are diametrically opposed, or one or the other has the truth and one doesn't. So that can make people nervous. How, in your description of this afterlife event or near-death experience, or death experience, I suppose, if it's a flat line, then you must be aware that that makes people edgy. And how do you get over that?
I always say this, Daniel. I am not working on religions. I am working on diseases.
Okay. All right. Then we have this agreement. Now, this is very interesting here. I've heard different, and as you said in the beginning, that you're well aware that there are others have stories of afterlife or near-death experiences. But I have heard of this part, and that is that at some point some say that there is an agreement of some sort that's made, that when you're on that side, they say the agreement is you can come back, but you can't remember anything on this side. And some people take that and say, okay, well, I'll try it again, because I have some further, you know, they say you have some further thing that you need to get done, but you will have no recollection of the afterlife experience or the agreement that was made. But in your case, you have a detailed remembrance of these events. Was that part of your personal experience, or would you say that those who have the true death experience also see what you saw?
Well, most certainly, number one, I cannot speak for anyone else. And, you know, number two, I feel that the only reason I have a detailed outlay of what I remember is because I need to be able to do my work, and I need to have severely clear guidance in order to take care of serious illnesses which I work on. So for me, you know, it's completely necessary to be able to get moment by moment in real time guidance. So for me, that's absolutely imperative.
Okay, so as far as an assignment or an agreement, was part of your agreement or an amendment to your agreement say that one of the things you will get is a healing a gift?
It is.
Okay. So others have choices, then would you speculate? And, you know, obviously, like you say, you're not sure whatever else. But you say others have, then they can make agreements. So were you able to select any particular gift, or did they say this will be assigned to you?
No, we all, as individuals and as spiritual beings, we all have free will, and therefore the magnificent beings that help us and guide us do not tell us what to do. They can only guide us, and our free will determines what it is we decide to do. In other words, the mode in which I work currently was totally my own doing through, you know, various experiences from 1977 till now. So, you know, I pretty much developed my own with their guidance.
Okay. All right. So you were given this agreement, and you actually explained to them that one of the reasons you wanted to take that amendment to your agreement is because you want to come back and spend more time with your mother.
Yes, that was the principal reason, not any other.
Would you say that if you died and you talked to people, that you would be talking to dead people?
I'm not sure how to answer that question.
Okay. All right. And is there any way, did they tell you what happens, and is it possible to break that agreement?
Oh, sure. I mean, we always have, you know, free will. It's just not, let's put it this way. It's not one intended and two the best thing for me to break it.
Mm-hmm. We have this question here, and this I don't I wanted to talk about it for just a second, but in the live chat I mentioned that Mary died, obviously, way back from Jesus' day, but you're saying that she lives. And that's a question, though, but if people do die, and they, you know, for those that believe that Mary's dead, wouldn't they also say that there's appointed unto man once to die, after this is judgment for some, then that if you get, if you're in a judgment, or if you or see your life in a review or whatever, then actually you have come back to life. Is that true?
Well, I most certainly say this when people, especially when Christian people ask me this question, I most certainly feel that I'm, you know, born again in many ways, not in the Christian mode of it, but mm-hmm. in the real mode of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. All right. So you come back. Now, this healing gift that you have, and you said that you work on diseases. So does that mean that you just don't touch somebody and they're healed, but you actually have to continue something to hopefully bring about it? Or is it guaranteed there will be a healing? Is it a process? Or can you just touch somebody or speak to somebody and they're healed? Or is it all of the above?
Number one, there are no guarantees. However, Daniel, the way it works is this. I actually do a lot of travel. I live in Lake Tahoe, however, I travel to Sacramento a lot because I have a lot of clients there. Here's a good example. I think it would be better if we use examples, don't you?
Sure. Use example.
I have been working on a lady who has had a combination of lupus and hep C, which is deadly.
Mm-hmm.
When I stepped in the middle of that stream, she was in the hospital with a swollen spleen and cirrhosis of the liver.
Okay.
What happens with me is when I step in the middle of a stream like that one that's very serious, I walk up to the person, we talk a little bit of history and so on, and I place my hands upon them. Then what happens is the mighty universal energy comes down through me, down through the person I'm working with, and it actually raises the vibrational level of the disease, because diseases vibrate at a very low, dark level. And when you raise that vibrational tone, then what begins to happen is the symptoms leave and the source leaves, and therefore they become well. It's not that you're curing anyone. It just simply changes the source of the problem. And by the way, her blood is at 13.5, and a normal person's blood is at about 13. She's actually a click above normal, and we've been working on her now for about 8.5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good example of mm-hmm. the work that I'm doing.
Okay. Who's we?
Myself and the mighty hosts that come through me.
Hmm. So do you have to sort of explain this host to your, and I don't know if you would call them a client or an associate or acquaintance, you know, but do you have to make explanations from a mental standpoint, so they have a mental ascension of what you're doing? Or can you go to somebody who knows nothing about Adam Miller and begin the process or completion of healing?
I can do either. However, my reputation is so good at this point that most of the people that hire me already are referrals from other people who have completely gotten well.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, they usually know the story, they know my background, they know where I've come from and so on, and so they're confident.
Mm-hmm.
However, once in a while I will get people that don't know that, so then I'll go through the whole entire story like we're explaining this
mm-hmm.
evening. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much power you have, but I would say that this host would know that you're on this program, and they would know that our server is loaded up again with so many people trying to watch it. Is it possible that you can put some healing power into our server?
No, I'm sorry, I can't help that issue. But and I should explain the host a little bit so people understand what's going on. What happens is sometimes it's Archangel Michael that I'm working with.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's Mother Mary that I'm working with. Sometimes it's Jesus that I'm working with. Sometimes it's Buddha that I'm working with, and so on. And, you know, an answer to a question I think is very important is this. Usually what happens is the correct host will come to a person per their belief system, okay? So if a person is a Christian, then most likely I'll probably be working with Mary. If a person is a Buddhist, then it might be Buddha or Kuan Yin or so on. And so it's always appropriate to that person's belief system, and that's a wonderful thing.
Hmm. All right. Well, what about, I'm hesitating on this question here, but look, I know that some of the information that came out about Islam around 9/11 was, I guess, through researchers looking through the Quran or wherever it was, but some point that they believe that if they kill a Jew, there are 70 virgins and all the wine they could drink. If that's their belief system, can you work through that type of thing?
I do not work on belief systems. I only work on diseases, so I bypass it.
Okay, so if they believe something wacky like 70 virgins over there, then you don't have to, that doesn't affect the outcome for them.
I don't go there.
Okay, so, all right. Okay. All right, I understand. So you work through anyone's belief system. Well, you have to go there somewhat, or you wouldn't know how to approach, if that's their belief system. I mean, could you, just taking that for example, could you say, I got 70 virgins that have healing in their wings or something like that.
Well, here's the deal, okay? First of all, I work on all kinds of people. I work on people of every belief system, and I have most certainly because I've worked on thousands of people at this point, and they've had every belief system in the world.
Okay.
Also, I've worked on crazy people. I've worked on, people that are rapists. I work on child molesters. I work on criminals. I've gone into jails before. I've worked on all kinds of issues.
Mm-hmm.
Drug addicts. I've worked on, people that are really, really having some issues.
Would spirit guides abandon their rapist personnel, they're assigned to people?
They do not abandon them. It's just that the person has free will and does not listen to them.
Mm-hmm. And wouldn't that pretty much embarrass the guide if say there's a rapist out there going around or killer, murderer, or whatever, child abductor? I mean, would he report back to the host and say, look, I can't deal with this anymore? I mean, does he see this type of thing, or is his vision blotted out from the criminal acts?
Well, we have to realize that guides and all the deities therein do not have judgment. Therefore, they are just simply doing a job, and they are doing it to the best of their abilities. So they do not judge humanity in any way. It's only we that do that.
They don't judge.
They do not.
Well, then wouldn't that make them partially responsible for the heinous criminal acts?
They cannot be responsible for a person's free will.
Hmm. Okay, you mentioned, now, does everyone get healed, or some people, or a variant? Do you know who's going to be completely healed, or is it even a mystery to you?
Well, sometimes it is, Daniel, because, I'm a human being like you are, like everybody else, and I have my own concerns, obviously my own fears and so on, about all the clients that I work on,
mm-hmm.
and unsureness and all of the rest. Mm-hmm. However, what I've learned how to do is simply work the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Stay within that. And you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't look at the outside or the circumstances or any other thing or even think about the outcome. I just simply work the problem.
Okay. I think, unless I'm mistaken, you clarify that, but did you earlier say when dealing with clients?
I'm sorry?
Did you say earlier that you dealt with your clients?
I'm not sure what the question means.
Okay. Do you call the people that you work with clients?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I do call them clients because legally I cannot call them patients or otherwise they are clients, yes.
Mm-hmm. And hence, ergo, is there a charge for that?
Yes, the sessions are $250 per session.
Wow. Well, I guess if you're dying with cancer and it works, I mean, that's a small price to pay. People are going to take issue with that. And I don't want to leave like that, but we've got the 9 o'clock break here, Adam Miller. So you want to just stay on the Newsmaker line, please?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, everybody, on the Newsmaker line tonight is Adam Miller. And Adam, as you heard in this very intriguing and interesting story, he's had some experiences and has some amazing information to tell. And if you missed any of the exciting first hour, go back to the edgeam.com website tomorrow where it will be posted. For your purview. And welcome back to the Edge Television Broadcast. My name is Daniel Ott. If you have a question for tonight's guest, you better get it in because there's a bunch of them in the inbox tonight, as well as a very lively and interesting chat going on. My name is Daniel Ott. You can expect the best of guests every Saturday night, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And don't forget, you can upload videos to edgetube.net. You can take a Edge poll. You can become a correspondent. You can even have your own show on the Edge Broadcasting Network. That's right. We will put you in a lineup if you so desire. That's our gift to you, our faithful listening and viewing audience. Now let's go back to our newsmaker line and see if we still have with us Adam Miller. Adam, welcome back.
Yes, thank you so much for having me, Daniel.
Hey, no problem. And before we get going in this second hour, let's talk about your website. What do we got going over there, and what's the address?
That's www.messengeroftheuniverse.com. And I want to add something about that. People have had a difficult time getting into that site for some reason. We're also changing the site. It's going to be much more presentable, let's put it that way. It's kind of a temporary site, just so everybody knows that. So what I would like to do maybe is leave an email and a telephone number if that's possible.
Okay, sure, go ahead.
The telephone number is 530-913-0403. The email is keeler_AdamMiller@yahoo.com. So thank you very much for allowing me to do that.
Hey, no problem. Okay, well, let's start with this great question in the live chat. It says, when you begin to heal, do you feel any physical sensation, electricity, heat, warmth, anything like that, lights?
You know, that's a wonderful question. And what happens actually happens for me and the client. So for me, yeah, it's fantastic. It's amazing energy that comes through. I've noticed that Archangel Michael in particular is extremely strong and usually will work with me with people that have terminal cancers of all types. I've worked on every type of cancer you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's spectacular energy, and people say that under my hands they feel like they are turning into water sometimes, that it's flowing or that it's pulsing or that it's hot. Sometimes it feels cold to them,
mm-hmm.
and many other things. And, yes, there are many, many, many sensations to this when people work with this energy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. And what is have you had any instant healings?
I have had people that have come in for one session and leave completely well.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't usually work that way. It usually takes me a certain amount of time, and I've learned to work much slower. When I was younger, I would kind of jump in all four paws and use, you know, a lot of energy, and that doesn't always work well. So
mm-hmm.
I've learned how to work slowly at this point.
Ah, okay. All right. Has anybody ever said, Adam, this isn't working, can I have my money back?
Yes, they have, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We do live in a world, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And I always return it, regardless of even if they did get a result. I also haven't had anybody that said, well, I didn't get a result at all. That's actually never happened
mm-hmm.
to me.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a result, and there's always a change of some sort.
Yeah.
Sometimes with humans, as you know, though, it may not be the one that they
mm-hmm.
want, and exactly
mm-hmm.
they want it, or they want a guarantee
yeah.
and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't fight that or go against their free will at all. And if they want their money back, I always give it back, no problem.
So do you work, say, like with a cancer patient, do you work with chemotherapy, or do you say, wait a minute, don't do that, let's try this with the angels and this type of thing?
My policy is that I am a practitioner like any other practitioner, and I need all the help I can get from any area, whether
mm-hmm.
that be human or otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that a person
mm-hmm.
needs to work with the medical profession.
Mm-hmm.
These are highly trained people that do an excellent job. And I have many of them as my friends and colleagues, and I highly believe in it.
In the first hour, we talked about your ascension up these stairs and the agreements and the angels and that type of thing. Is anything that you saw there, and we asked you if you saw anybody that you knew, but is there anything that you may have had a predilection to know before, perhaps something that you read, and then all of a sudden, oh, well, here it is up here where I just went? Or was it completely off the hook, no basis whatsoever, no story, you hadn't heard any stories, you hadn't seen any pictures, haven't read any books at all. Which one was it more like?
Well, because, you know, I was born in the late 50s and grew up in, you know, the early 60s and 70s, there wasn't, you know, a lot of information in our country yet about a lot of this. There were a few books out, 2150 and other books, near-death experience books. Mm-hmm. So I would say yes, I heard a little bit because I was at 18 years old. I was old enough to have a small amount of information.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but it wasn't enough really to build a what you saw. You could not build that from the experiences that you had.
No, absolutely not. It mm-hmm. was okay. So beyond anything I even realized was you know out there.
Okay,
it was truly, truly spectacular, which is why I'm writing the book, because I think it's important to have people in the world hear it now, don't you?
Well, yeah. I think, you know, especially this time, if for no other reason, people need to hear some good news, and just to know that the financial problems and employment problems and the mortgage problems, these type of things are temporary, and they will pass, but yet they're, and I would say just... one thing that may be universal that we could definitely say is that time on the other side is infinity. It goes on and on and on. So, you know, these temporary things. So there is some good news that, hey, you know, if you think you're in a bad situation, you know, you may get another chance. Here's a question from the live chat. It says, do you know somebody named Anthony Peake, P-E-A-K-E?
You know, that name rings a bell, but I don't know why. I'm sorry.
Okay. Now, we had a question earlier that it came through the scroll list there, but it said, did at any point, did somebody through that archway that we discussed in the first hour or any other communication that you may have had say anything about the future of the planet?
Did they talk about it at that time, but they also talked to me about world changes, politics, economy,
really?
And various other things all the time, actually.
Okay. Did they tell you about anything about the economic collapse of the United States?
They have talked about it and have spoken about it and actually have spoken about Obama.
They like him or don't?
Well, it's not a matter of like. Because spirits do not judge. Therefore, they just simply give me the information, period. It's mm-hmm. uncolored.
Mm-hmm. When you had your three choices, when you were on the other side, when you were dead, and you went to this place, did you get a life review?
Yes, we covered the whole entire thing. And, of course, when I read the agreement, I went through the whole life. So, yes. Mm-hmm.
Did you have to sign that agreement?
Yes.
Hmm. So on the other side, your signature is worth... is it makes that a legal document?
It does.
And if you were to take issue with that legal document, who would you go to?
I love that question. As a matter of fact, you know what, Daniel? You're wonderful. Your questions are great. Thank you for doing them.
Hello? Chip to shore. Did we just lose him? Hang on here. Because we're still on with him. Adam Miller, can you hear me now? Looks like we've got a dropout here. Let's try to get him back on the line. So just stay with us, please. Everybody, you're listening to Adam Miller. And let's see. There, we got the ring going. Classic ring. Let's see if we can get him back on the line. Don't forget, this interview will be posted up on the Edge's website tomorrow.
Hello.
Adam Miller, welcome back.
Yeah, I apologize. I don't know what happened there.
Hey, no problem. Okay, the question was, if you had an issue with the agreement, who would you go to? And you were getting ready to say you love the questions, so I appreciate that. So
I do. I love the questions because we have to realize that our agreements are written out of our own free will. They're an agreement with ourselves, not an agreement with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, if you're changing your agreement, you would just simply be stating to them, I'm changing my agreement to this.
Okay. So, it's whatever agreement you want to make.
Yes.
So if you had a disagreement, you'd have a disagreement with yourself.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And where are these agreements kept? Was it a scroll? Is there a locked box with your name on it? Where is it stored?
You know, that's a great question, because there's actually a library.
Mm-hmm.
Library of all of the records of every single soul in the universe, and they are kept in a certain area, yes.
Mm. And can any of these angels that you described in the first hour, can they get access to it?
They can, to help an individual, yes.
Mm-hmm. Do they have to submit a request, sort of like a Freedom of Information Act request, to gain information on humans?
They do not.
Mm. So really, anybody could know everything about you. Everybody up there knows everything about you. Is that right?
They could if they chose, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How many more Adam Millers are there out there?
Well, you know, in the United States, I really haven't run across another healer that does terminal illnesses like I do.
Mm-hmm.
Nor have I heard the story, you know, like mine is. So as far as I'm concerned, I mean, there's nobody like me, but I'm sure there's lots of variations of healing work of all types.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as my work's concerned, I haven't seen it like I do it at
mm-hmm.
this point.
On the other side, did you see anything, or could you describe your life written in anything that would be euphemistically described as the book of life?
I would say so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would say that there are a lot of answers, which we would refer to as from the book of life, so to speak, sure.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned a sort of overarching group. I don't know if my notes are clear here, but maybe a holy council. Is there a central figure, a God type figure over that council?
Well, there's most certainly the source. It is not an individual, so to speak. It's energy.
Really? So you're saying, okay? So you're saying then that what many religions describe as God is an energy source.
Yes, it is. It's the source of all things, yes.
Mm-hmm. And would you say that the Jesus figure, the blue jean, barefoot clad Jesus figure that you saw that greeted you there, was he considered on equal standing with the other figures, religious figures that you've seen there?
Well, that's an interesting question, one that deserves a correct answer, I believe. So let's be precise in this answer. They call themselves, according to their sex, so to speak, either master or mastress, okay?
Wow, mastress. Never heard that one.
And since that's the case,
mm-hmm.
They each have a job. They have a certain job that they do, and their job is unique to themselves. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's not like a central figure, so to speak, because each one of these individuals has a job that is so unique to themselves that no other one of them, you know, can do that particular job.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it quite plausible that somebody could bypass the need for a healer and go directly to this power source to get their healing?
Absolutely. It takes a few things. It takes education, it takes time, and it takes maturity. And those are the three things that Jesus mentioned to me when he met me on the outside of the building that I would need in order to do this job later.
Mm-hmm.
And most certainly, 31 years later, I finally can do it to the fullest extent.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, any person that is in a body or out of a body most certainly can do this work. It just takes a very long time to learn it correctly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So is there, and this is from the live chat, is there an opposing energy to that council? Is there any sort of equal and opposite dark force energy, dark council? Does that exist?
I don't know if it exists as a council, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What I do know is that there's most certainly an opposing force, if you want to call it that. However, it's really not opposing, it's just simply opposite. Mm-hmm. Because in the universe, there's light and dark.
Mm-hmm.
Each one has a particular job.
Yeah.
And so that's the way I'm going to put that.
Okay, so are you saying that dark forces have an assignment?
They do.
Are they given by the same council, or are they given by the same energy? Or are they given by...
They most certainly are not. Dark forces are, you know, destructive in their way, and most certainly in their wake. And they do create issues in which we all know about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a matter of being able to work with it, not against it, in order to get things done. Because here's a good example. All cancers have a very, very dark energy to them, okay?
Okay.
And so in order to change that particular root of that in a person, we must find out what that dark root is and how did it start in their life. Well, with many people, it may have been abuse at a young age or even at an older age. With other people, it's some kind of trauma, such as war or so on, or being abused by a parent or a car accident or whatever that mm-hmm. set this off. And all of those things are very, very dark energy, and you must learn to change them. So, yeah, it most certainly has... it has teeth in things that are very destructive, most certainly, that we live in, and you must learn how to work with it. If you try to fight it or you try to work against it, that is a mistake. You need to learn how to work with it and carefully invite it to leave, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you had this, is gift a good description? You almost describe it as an education.
It's an education. I don't use the word gift.
Mm-hmm. And
because a gift is something that's given to you, and really, okay. I've really worked very, very hard for 30 years of my life in order mm-hmm. to get it, so mm-hmm. it's not really a gift.
Mm-hmm. So are you sort of the reluctant healer?
Well, what happened was this. You know, for 31 years of my life up until... just a few years ago, I wasn't public at all. I did none of this radio work or anything that had to do with the public. I was by word of mouth only, and you had to have a reference to come and see me.
Mm-hmm.
Where now the mighty presence and the spirits therein have asked me to step forward into the world mm-hmm. and to deliver this and write the book and so on, because this is the appropriate time. Mm-hmm. Previous to that, I was not in the public at all.
Okay. Question from the live chat. While you were up there, did this Jesus figure mention to you or explain to you why he did not charge for the healings he did while on Earth?
You know, it's interesting, and that's a great question. And he said it to me simply like this. He said, Adam, when you become a master and a mystic and you are able to create, you know, wine from water and lead into gold, then you will no longer have to charge. Until then, and until you can create that sort of level, mm-hmm. you will need a charge for your sustenance mm-hmm. because you are in a body and you are not educated enough yet in order to get your supply from the universal, so you need a charge.
Mm-hmm. And hence, the supporting sort of reference could be when Jesus sent the disciples to get a fish with a gold coin in its mouth, right?
That's wonderful, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we have that going on. I missed this question up on the live chat, too. This is great, too. The energy that we were speaking about earlier, the universal energy, I suppose you're going to describe it as, does it have a conscious thought?
It is most certainly the most conscious thought anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And where did this energy come from?
The source.
The source?
Yes.
And where's the source come from? Where's the source located?
The source is everywhere. It's what holds and binds the universe together, mm-hmm. and it is what all creation is made from.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There is something that does hold things together, and I've explained it this way, that I know scientists don't understand, but when you say... use an electron microscope and look down into metal. For most people, think that metal is not porous, but yet it is, because they're having trouble with the hydrogen driven cars, because hydrogen evaporates 10% of its composition right through a solid steel or chrome or metal container, because it is, these molecules are smaller than that which metal is formed together. But when you go down to the molecular level, there is a molecule and then a molecule next to it, but there's space in between, and nobody knows what's holding that space and those molecules together. Have you ever heard of that or know that?
Well, and that is where the string theory comes in and so on. So,
that there's,
you know,
something else.
They're realizing now that these tiny strings actually hold and bind the material together. And this has been on PBS and many other radio and television stations as of late.
Yeah.
It's being proved, you know, as we speak.
Yeah.
So, yes, that is absolutely correct. The space that's in between is the universal strings, so to speak, that hold and bind everything together and make it into a material of any sort.
Yeah. Although they haven't been able, that is, as you said, is a theory, correct?
Kinda, it is a theory.
Yeah, kind of like the quark, when they said, that, you know, there has to be this thing called a quark doing a certain activity because, well, there had to be something to do that. Then a question in from the live chat, who created the universe?
That is the mighty presence.
Okay, the mighty presence.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When somebody listens to Adam Miller, what do you expect them to come away with? A more inquisitiveness concerning the afterlife, more appreciation that maybe they have somebody looking after them, an understanding that there are possibilities to be healed beyond the human knowledge and experience?
Well, I want them to understand that through our own free will and our own ability that we have the possibility of absolutely being anything we choose and everything that we choose. And because that's the case, you know, I'm really just so excited that, I mean, it's getting to the point now where even when I'm just in the regular public, I'll tell you something about myself personally. I'm a car guy. I have hot rod cars. I've been building cars for a long time. I go to all the car shows and so on. Even at the car shows now, where I'm not in this mindset at all of this work, because I don't talk about it at all outside of my work, it's beginning to be brought up just with people standing around me and so on. And, you know, the collective knowledge of humanity is beginning to heighten as it goes on. And we most certainly are, coming up in our knowledge and coming up in our ability to see the universe in a different way. And that is what I'm after, really. You know, my healing work is one way. The other way, of course, is to communicate what's behind the healing work. And that's just oh so interesting to everyone, of course.
Question from your home state. I don't know if your home state or not, but Malibu, California. They want to know there. This is going to go off. This is going to make a right turn. Be ready. Do you know anything about reptilians?
I'm sorry, I do not. I don't know what they're referring to.
Okay, well that's good. I don't know that they would be very friendly type of people. Here's another question from the Fast Blast. Did any of your conversations refer to the year 2012 up there?
You know, somehow, Daniel, I knew we weren't going to get through this without that one, okay? So, so I do have something to say about that. The 2012 stuff is totally and absolutely incorrect, because what's actually going on is our Earth changes are occurring right now. They will continue to do so through 2012 and so on. So 2012 is kind of like the Y2K thing was, and it is incorrect.
Alrighty, and here's another question. This is from North Carolina. Do you ever detect energy blockages with your hands?
I actually do not have them.
Okay. Alright, and then we have this question here. If somebody cannot afford your service, do you give it to them for free?
I have a policy that was set with me from the Mighty Masters and the Council at the time that I signed the agreement. And it is stated in this way. I either charge a certain amount or it is free, one of the two, depending on what they ask me to do with an individual.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it possible that you can transfer your healing education to somebody else and they can do what you can do?
It is not.
Well, in the movie The Edge with Anthony Hopkins, he said, what one man can do, another man can do.
And I totally agree with you. And I wanted to be precise in that answer. And what that really means is I cannot teach it in the way I do it. They will do it in their manner.
Yeah. Is there any other way to get this education without being dead?
You know, let's put it this way. I got thrown in the deep end of the pool, so to speak, yeah? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the crash course. However, yes, there's no, certainly a lot of educational ways. There's many mm-hmm. fine teachers who teach it in many different ways. The only thing that I can say is I don't know about working on terminal illnesses in which people have weeks to live. I mean, I work with people that have weeks, sometimes days to live, and those are very, very mm-hmm. difficult to work with. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, you know, if you didn't have that experience that you'd be able to do that level. So I think it's a matter of level.
Okay. Is it possible that you could ever go back to where you made this, signed this agreement, and without dying? Can you say, can you tell, or in fact, do you still have a spirit guide yourself?
I have two, actually.
Can they guide you back to the portal, back to the arch, back to where you were, or are you going to have to die again?
I actually go back there on a daily basis now.
You go back there, eh? Is anything changing? I mean, are you getting used to, are you seeing the same angels?
You never see the same angels because there are as many angels out in the universe as there are stars, so they're mm-hmm. always different.
Mm-hmm. One of the religious texts there says something that, I guess it's from the Bible. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Is that the type of thing that you have? Is it a laying on of hands, or can you do it just by thought, or how do you do it? I mean, what's the process?
There's two rules for me. One is I have to be present with a person. I can't do it over the phone because people ask me that all the time. One, I suppose I could, but I don't want to do it over the phone. And the other one is yes. That's precisely correct. It is a laying on of hands. I mean, the Christians kind of refer to me as a faith healer. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the other thing I want to say, too, and kind of to address maybe the Christian religion for a moment, I would say half to almost three-quarters of my clients have been Christian recently, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And they have absolutely no problem with me whatsoever. And one of the reasons they don't is because a lot of the energy that I'm working with is through many of the icons that we all understand, you know, growing up in the Christian faith. So, they're real, you know, happy with that. And yet when I get a Buddhist person or I get a metaphysical person or whatever, they're still okay with it. And I really just don't have any issues with religious people at all because they're sick. Really what they want to do is they want to get well, Daniel, and that's their concern. They don't really care how. They just want to get well. That's really the
mm-hmm.
deal.
Mm-hmm. Question then, live chat. Were you told the future of America?
Some of it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, in a quick synopsis, what do you see? What were you told?
Well, we are a magnificent country, most certainly leading the way in many ways, metaphysically, so to speak, and there most certainly will be a golden age in this part of the world that will be truly fantastic. So that's about what I'm going to say about it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Then we have this one here. Which angel do you like the best?
There's no best. They are there for a specific purpose, for a specific disease or problem with a person, and I work with them per that issue.
Okay, so basically the angels are specialized.
No, I have many of the same ones for totally different issues.
Okay, so they can cross streams there if they want to.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, back to live chat question. Do you think that any time humans were once angels?
We are a different sphere from angels, so no. Mm-hmm.
Are we higher or lower than the angels?
Just different.
Can we command angels?
We cannot.
Can they command us?
They cannot.
Hmm. Can we war with the angels? Can we fight them?
There is no war in the universe.
You can't fight them?
There's no need to.
Okay. And you can, you say you go there every day. You're where you're sitting, or can you go there now?
Yes.
Okay. Can you still talk to us on the program here and be there?
No, I'm not choosing to do that.
Okay. I was going to say, is there any way you can bring any of them on the line?
Well, you know, I have done some channeling work in the past, and they've asked me not to do that on this program and stick to the healing work.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Why is it that people get sick? Why can't we live in a world where there is no sickness and no war?
Because we have free will, and sometimes our free will choices are not always the best.
Mm-hmm. What if, could you ever have free will without the free will part of the dark side of humanity? I mean, couldn't we just have the free will what planet we want to live on? I mean, is it necessary that evil choices must exist? I mean, could we not have had free will if that particular choice was left out or never created to begin with?
Most certainly we can, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you said that you sort of see the Earth, humankind, I suppose. I thought you were suggesting that you're seeing or you are enthused or excited about the direction of the planet. And did I get that right? Did you say that or mean that?
I'm totally enthused, Daniel, because, mm-hmm. you know, I see what's coming and I see what's occurring, and we most certainly are making a shift into a higher level on this planet, and it will change.
Mm-hmm. And now this is a bone of contention that I frankly have with others that have that, and it's optimism. I'm probably one of the most optimistic people out there, but on that particular issue, when I look across the planet, I see North Korea getting ready to nuke. I see Iran getting ready to nuke. I see plagues and earth changes and tsunamis and fires and just a lot of hate out there. I'm not seeing this advancement of humankind. Am I looking in the wrong place?
Well, I mean, all of those things, you know, exist on this planet as well as they do in the universe, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so it is a matter of, you know, where are you going with your attention, period.
Mm-hmm. Now, I love to butcher words, and that's because I went to public schools. That's always my out. But if we have this from the live chat, can you speak to the body like a, and here we go, whoops, just changed, a kinesiologist, kinesiologist.
Well, I'll answer the question more in plain English so everybody understands this. What happens is when I put my hands on a person, my hands are actually kind of like a camera, and I can actually see inside the body and see where the issues are and see why they're there, and then the angelic host or the masters therein explain to me the source of what's going on, and it's kind of a dual sort of history going on there, so I can see where to go and how to correct the problem. So that's the answer to the question.
Mm-hmm. All right. So your hands sort of see it like sort of like an X-ray of some sort?
Yes, that's precisely true. Actually, more like an MRI.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Have you ever, has your education ever let you down? Have you ever made a mistake and misdiagnosed somebody's misfortune?
Well, can I tell you something? First of all, I don't diagnose anything. I'm not allowed to do that. That's illegal. In the amount of years that I've been doing this, I've most certainly made mistakes. They were not, however, in the detriment of any person ever.
Mm-hmm.
They either just took longer or I didn't get back to somebody soon enough and things like that. Mm-hmm. The reason that they had me spend so much time out of the public eye, which is most of my life. I mean, I've only been in the public eye for about 5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they wanted to educate me thoroughly before I stepped onto that world stage and started doing it at this level.
Mm-hmm. So world stage. So do you have a worldwide, see, you can't use the word client. Is that right?
Client. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, so do you have, have you been to other countries?
I have.
To bring you, okay, do they, the people that, that wanted, that found out about you, do they, and as you said earlier, I think that it's through word of mouth, then I guess that travels around the world, so do they like fly you first class, a private jet or what?
Whatever it takes. It depends upon how severe the person is and what's going on, and of course their economic level.
Mm-hmm. And we have this basic question. I'm not sure that what the answer might lie on the other end of it, but from the Fast Blast, somebody said, asked Adam, who are you? Adam, who are you?
Well, I'm a guy like any other guy with a most extraordinary happening that happened to me a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
which changed my life, and I'm a practitioner. Like any other practitioner, I'm doing a job.
Mm-hmm. Is there any way that this whole death experience you experienced and the people that you met, the different angels and the whole thing, is there any way that it could have been a ruse or something set up by the other side, by the dark forces to misguide you?
Well, considering that I've seen thousands of people become healed, no.
Mm-hmm. In the thousands of people that you have seen be healed, then do you have your own book of these successes?
Are you talking about stories?
Yes, uh-huh, of healings.
I have some, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then we have this question here: is there any dark energies or forces that you have to battle? Say beyond the sickness.
Continually.
Okay. Describe a battle with a dark force. What is that like?
Well, anytime you go into a person that has a terminal illness, it doesn't matter what they are, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is dark force based, and it has issues with it.
Really?
So therefore, yes, you are going in and you are warring against it, so to speak. And that's why I use Archangel Michael, because as we know, he's the defender against the dark in the universe. Everybody knows this about him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I use him a lot, especially if people have attachments or nasty energies attached to them or they're possessed. I've worked on possessed people and all kinds of other things as well.
Wow. If Adam Miller goes to request the services of Michael the Archangel, is it possible that some other Adam Miller-type healer across the planet is trying to access him as well? Is there ever a conflict in the schedule, or is he able to be in different places at the different times?
We have to realize that angelic host is so powerful that it's everywhere at once, and it's only a reflection or a faction of that energy mm-hmm. being there.
All right. So you're not getting the actual Michael the Archangel, you're getting a reflection of his energy, and it's so powerful that is bringing aid and comfort and defeat of the enemy?
Sometimes it's the actual energy itself, and sometimes it's the reflection of it. Mm-hmm. And it's so unbelievably powerful, it's truly spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There was once a war in the heavens between Michael the Archangel and a demon over a certain city. How is it that angels battle a dark force?
That's an interesting question, and I've been told by them that it is simply because of what they are. It's not necessarily that there's a physical war going on. It's that their magnanimous energy mm-hmm. spirit actually just prevents it from permeating any more of that area. That's actually how it works.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned dark energies, light energies. Do they fight together? I mean, how...
No, they don't fight a war, per se, no.
Okay. Do they counsel out each other? Is it always that the light energies, do they when they face, say, a person who has dark energies or dark forces that are bringing their terminal disease, is it just light beams shooting out of their mouth or out of their eyes, hitting them, and then dispelling the dark forces?
Yeah, I know. You know, it's difficult to get a picture of this, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what happens, it's the emanation from the being as a whole, not in any particular part of them, creates the healing that happens.
Now, do you know where I got that visualization?
No.
That I just described?
That was
from the movie with Kurt Russell, Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh.
The guy had light beam shooting out of his mouth. Guys flying around on wires. Yeah. And then so, of course, he was the negative guy. He wasn't a good guy. He was the negative guy.
Yeah.
Hitting people with it. Blinding them, actually. Got hit with it.
Right. I think that was a little Hollywood, yeah.
Is there anything that your style, your way, is it coincide any with the history of Edgar Cayce?
I would say there are some similarities, sure.
Mm-hmm. And he is his gifts, and I don't know, but I'm not an Edgar Cayce, but I'm thinking he may have described it as gift. His services were sought after, were they not?
They were sought after by the entire world, actually, and he did extremely well. The difference between him and I is that I am not psychic in any fashion whatsoever, nor will I have anything to do with the psychic realm at all.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever heal animals?
Yeah, the elemental world is extremely important to me, and that's how they're referred to as the elementals.
Really?
And I've worked on everything from domestic cats to large animals such as horses and so on. I have.
Mm-hmm. And do you charge the same amount for animal?
I do.
Okay. Well, and, you know, I'm a pet lover, too. I have a dog, and, animals are people too, so I can see where you charge the same amount.
Well, for a lot of people, as you know, Daniel, their animals are their family. They may have no family whatsoever, and the animal is the only connection to feeling love that they have, and so they're very, very important to them. And yeah, many times I will work on an animal as much as I have a person because they have cancers and so on, like we do.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned, I think just ever so slightly, that you perform exorcisms. Did I catch that?
I most certainly am going to stay away from that terminology.
Okay.
How would you describe it? Because I do not do that.
Okay.
What happens is I've worked with several of them.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what happens is I do the same work. I lay my hands upon them.
Mm-hmm.
And, that mighty presence comes through and changes that energy. And they become, healed from very, very intense things. Mm-hmm. And I have seen it happen a few times, yeah. It hasn't been that much with me, however.
Okay. Multiple question, all in the same genre. Do you believe that there are ghosts, aliens, or other paranormal entities?
Most certainly all of the above, yes.
Oh, okay. Have you ever had, there's a lot of ways to go with that one, but then I have an earlier question. Do you believe that possession is an illness? Somebody's possessed.
I don't know about an illness. It's really not an illness. It's an attachment by an entity that's dark, so it's really not an illness.
In the elemental world of animals, they have souls, spirits, or neither?
They have a complete soul, and they are an entire individual into themselves.
Do we have to face them? Say, like if we kicked our dog, do we have to explain that to them on the other side?
We most certainly do.
Oh, crap. Oh, man. Whoa. Well, no, I don't kick my dog. I mean, but now I did have a dog that was chewing on one of my ducks, and I did throw him off the deck. But listen, I had a reason to. I mean, do I have to explain that to him?
Probably wasn't the best choice, Daniel.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh. All right.
Okay.
Is there anything I can, send up an amendment somewhere up there to clarify that so I don't have to answer for that, later?
No, it's most certainly not a huge thing there. And the only thing that's required is to, amend it, so to speak, with the animal.
Okay. Well, that animal's passed on to sweet by and by. So you're saying we're going to see animals on the other side?
There were all kinds of them there, yes.
Okay. On the other side, were there dinosaurs?
I did not see anything like that, no.
Pterodactyls, nothing like that?
No. Mm-mm.
What about bugs?
No.
Weeds?
What?
Were there weeds there?
Were there weeds there?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see any weeds, okay.
Now, that's a very studied question, okay? I worked hard on that one. Okay, what about flowers?
You did.
What about flowers?
I actually didn't see any plant life at all.
I remember we had a near-death experience person come on and said that there were so many beautiful flowers here that these flowers actually sang. So
I'm sure that's possible. It just didn't happen to be in my particular experience at all.
Well, since you have this information, got to ask, do plants have souls of any kind? Or they
elemental? They don't have a soul, but they have an essence, yes.
Okay, and is that the essence that it is documented that if you sing to plants that it helps them? Is this the essence?
Correct.
And I've seen other things that plants do that almost give them a living sense that, you know, for instance...
They are a living being, most certainly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but... So then would you say that it's against the agreement that they should be killed at our will? You don't break any agreement doing that?
Any act of violence is against the agreement.
Hmm. What if what if you're fighting a war? I meant, are you going to let them kill you?
Agreement.
Okay, that might be against agreement, but if you're saying, look, if, you know, they're coming to kill you, you might say, look, I got this agreement, so go ahead and kill me, or I got to kill you. I mean, what do you do there?
Well, at the momentary instance is that you're really not going to go there because you don't have that kind of time.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll make a free will choice depending on what it is you need to do, period.
Okay. And as you said in the first hour, that free will choice is not judged by the angels.
It is not.
So they don't see that as our choices as good or bad.
They don't have judgment.
Mm-hmm. Who does have that judgment?
Ourselves.
So, okay. So, are you saying that we will convict ourselves in our own court according to our own agreement on the other side?
That is correct.
So, we would be the judge and jury of our own life?
We most certainly are.
Okay.
And what happens is we end up putting ourselves into purgatory. I mean, here's a very good, for instance, there's a place called the place of waiting, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So people that, say, kill themselves or kill another person or whatever, mm-hmm. they end up in this place of waiting until they can work out what it was they did. Well, they put themselves there. Nobody put them there.
How long do they got to wait there, Adam?
Until they work it out.
Okay. Would that include going to this college, or is this place void of those types of things, and they have to just be in a specific place for a specific time until a realization comes to them, I shouldn't have killed myself?
That's correct.
Is there anybody that comes to them and describes why they're there, or do they know that they're there for that specific reason? And what if they're
vulnerable? There are instructors there that are there to help them regain the thoughts of how they got there and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But they cannot tell them anything. They can only help guide them into the idea of how they got there. And then the person must have their own realization to be able to get out of that area.
Mm-hmm. This is a question from the Fast Blast. Do you think that being bipolar and being demon-possessed are the same thing or related?
That's an interesting question. It can be related. However, it doesn't mean that it is related.
Mm-hmm. Would you know that if you met said person through your, I described it as X-ray vision of your hands to look into a person's soul or their illness area. Would you be able to tell that condition if it exists?
usually I'll get the information per my contact personally with them. In other words, I have to have them in the same room with me. Mm-hmm. And then usually what happens is I get, you know, connected by, it could be Jesus, Mother Mary, or whoever, who will come and talk to me about this poor soul and tell me the story pretty much, and that's how I find out.
Does Mother Mary come to you speaking words of wisdom? Let it be.
Not exactly in the Beatles sense. However, she does have a wonderful sense of humor. I will say some things about her that are very important to me and I think important to everyone, and it's this. She most certainly is very much, as we see her in the Christian terminology, she works, she's almost there every time I'm working with a child who's ill, for instance, or if I'm working with an elemental. So, you know, a lot of things that are said about these entities are very, very close to the truth, for sure.
Why do innocent children have diseases?
Why what? I'm sorry?
Why do innocent children have diseases?
Well, there are many, many reasons. Sometimes it's per their agreement in order to learn something. Sometimes it can be an act of karma through past lifetimes. Sometimes it can be from a trauma during a current lifetime. I mean, there could be 100 reasons why.
Is it possible when you're up there making an amendment to your agreement, can you come back younger?
You know, I've never given that any thought. I suppose you could.
Wow. Is it possible to come back at an earlier time?
Are you talking about at a different time in history?
Yeah, a day, a week, a month, a year, a decade. Can you choose? Could you choose? If you're writing your own amendment, couldn't you write in, "I will go back to 1932"? I mean, can you write
no.
that in?
If you're making an amendment, okay, to a current lifetime that you already have, you must come back per that time.
But if you're, but you said that you are in charge of that amendment, why couldn't you write that in? Then that precludes that there must be somebody who says that's a violation. Who's
because
that person?
Because the body. If you're making an amendment, that means you're temporarily out of the body, okay? Uh-huh. I should have made that clear.
Question from the live chat. Adam, what are ghosts? And why do people see ghosts?
Ghosts are individuals that have gotten trapped in between the earthbound level and the etheric. And so what happens is a lot of times they will stay because they are in a comfort zone of being, say, in a house, in a building, in an area, because they do not have the information and they cannot see the light in order to get to a higher level to be taken somewhere else by a guide. So a lot of times they'll get trapped in a building, which is why you see them in homes and so on quite a bit.
Trapped in a building. Well, that seems to be sort of the antithesis of what a ghost can do. Can he go through walls? Can he just travel? Or is there some invisible barrier there?
Well, what happens with a lot of, quote, ghosts, unquote, is that they are actually trapped by their own fear of something. It could be family. It could be because they had an instant death by a murderer or so on.
Wow.
And a lot of times, yes, they actually can go through the walls. Mm-hmm. They actually can leave the building, but they don't know that information. Mm-hmm. They think that they are stuck there.
So, can you talk to ghosts?
I can.
Can you lead them out, Adam? Lead them to safety?
I can.
So, have you led ghosts to their next appointed realm?
I have.
Really? Do they thank you for that?
Yes, they do.
Do they pay you for that?
The person that's hired me to have the help being gotten does, yes.
Really? Okay.
Sure.
But you've actually had ghosts thank you, say, I was stuck there, and thanks to Adam Miller, I moved on.
They don't really do that. They just move on.
What about poltergeists? What's going on with these freaks?
The same thing.
Yeah, but these guys are, they're tormentors, okay? Now.
They are.
Okay, can you put some chains on them, or what? They got some kind of evils. Does the ghost, a normal ghost, does he have a negative energy attached to him, and you got to get rid of that so he can be a good ghost?
Well, if it's a poltergeist, I mean, there's two kinds of ghosts. There's the ones that are, you know, benign, and then there's the ones that are causing mischief, so to speak. And usually the ones that are causing mischief are only ghosts who are afraid of something because they had something horrible happen to them, so now they're afraid, and so now they're causing problems to get attention.
Yeah.
And so what happens is you address that problem, you find out what it is. By the way, what we're talking about right now is known as a house clearing.
Okay.
And a lot of times I will go to help a person who's ill, and they're ill because that entity is still in the home causing issues with that person.
Really?
And that's part of the healing. So a lot of time attachments are causing somebody to be ill. So I'll end up doing two jobs in one, so to speak. Mm-hmm.
And so have you ever performed your services on children?
Lots of them, yes.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen...
Let's address something for a second.
Okay.
I'm working on two infants right now.
Really?
So I have one little boy that's only 4 months old, and he can't hear out of one ear, and we're correcting that. And then I have a little girl who's had spinal problems, and we're correcting that. So that's the answer to the question. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess I was a little younger than I was thinking. I was thinking maybe young adult, and then I was going to have the follow-up question to follow that up. I was going to say, have you ever been working on a person and say maybe saw their head spin?
No, I've never had that happen.
I mean, okay. But have you ever seen facial contortions? Have you seen foaming at the mouth or extreme cursing in the time that you were trying to bring healing into their life?
I've seen all of that.
Have they ever thrown you across the room?
No. Uh-uh.
Have you ever seen them levitate?
No.
Okay. I mean, I would think those would be some of the particularly nasty ones.
And they look familiar. I mean, I have seen things kind of move, like furniture move a little bit, mm-hmm. some things like that. So I have seen some of that, yeah.
So you've never been, book never came flying across the room at you?
No.
But in these particular cases, you would expect that you would have the full force of Michael the Archangel. So have you had to have, at any point, several of the big name, powerful angels because you got a particularly nasty case? Or is it a single?
Especially if I'm working on more than one person.
Have you ever seen any entity in the room with you?
Such as?
I guess if you would say a ghost or an apparition or a dark energy. Did you ever have to tell somebody, I see this thing is right over there in the corner watching us? Have you ever had to say that?
Probably a third of the time.
Really? So then that type of illness... in a person's life, then there's a large part has to do then with dark energies or dark forces in the unseen world.
It does, as a matter of fact, all the time.
Okay, so there's a more of a propensity for that then. So, and in your collegiate training in this realm you went to when you died, then they taught you how to deal with these entities?
That was part of my education at school. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And did you get a degree, something that's printed? Adam Miller, you have now graduated the Celestial Universal College?
There is a record of it, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, I was going to say, is there any way that you can post that on your website?
No, I most certainly will not do that.
Okay. If you could, you wouldn't, right? Maybe you can. Have you ever been asked that question? I mean, you know, I would like to see what...
You've asked a lot of questions I've never been asked, Daniel, and thank you very much.
All right. Well, that's the hope and dreams here of the Edge, that we can do that, go into realms that others have not dared to tread. Adam Miller. Now, do you know Matthew Stein?
I do. He's a very good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm. And I understand you may have helped him?
Yes, with some things, yes.
Excellent. All right. Well, we're getting near the end of the broadcast there, Adam, and I want to make sure you can give a shout out to your website or any other, even your contact information. If you'd like to review that again for the folks, you go right ahead.
Yeah, I think what I'll do is just give some basic information. First of all, the telephone number is 530 area code, and the number is actually 913-0403.
Mm-hmm.
And my email is healer_AdamMiller@yahoo.com. So, yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. And we also, like I said, we have the link to your website in your bio section. Adam Miller, I appreciate you coming on the broadcast tonight. I know there's probably a lot more we can cover. Can we have you back again on the broadcast sometime?
You know, Daniel, this has absolutely been wonderful. You're a wonderful interviewer, and thank you so very much for caring about my work and what's going on here. I would come on any time, sir, that you asked me to.
Okay. And just a note, the lighter questions weren't meant to, they were just that, just lighter questions and what could be heavy-duty information. And you took those rather well. They weren't meant to embarrass or belittle you in any way, shape, or form. In fact, many things I've actually given you substantiating evidence to some of the things you said just by the knowledge that I have in my simple world. Adam Miller, thanks so much for coming on the broadcast then, and this will be up on the website tomorrow. And you stay safe out there in California, and we'll put you on the guest return list.
Thank you so much, Daniel.
Okay. You have a good evening then.
All right, you too, sir.
All right.
You've been listening to The Edge with Daniel Ott. To subscribe to The Edge newsletter, log on to theedgeam.com. That's theedgeam.com, where you can find out about our guests and topics discussed on the air. The Edge has been brought to you by EBN, the Edge Broadcasting Network, providing affordable live web streaming to the world. Visit EBN at ebnlive.net. That's ebnlive.net. Until next week, for The Edge Broadcast, I'm Chris Moore. See you on The Edge.